now that we are changing things. Lord, that you've empowered us for now, not down the road. Lord, we will have opportunities down the road, but we pray right now. We lift up Pastor John as he brings forth your word today. We pray for him, Lord, that there would be an impartation of vision and of faith, Lord, and a greater trust in you. Father, just let your presence come upon him, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Over the past few months, or a couple months anyway, we've seen that every one of us has a destiny. And our destiny can only be found and fulfilled in Christ. When God created us, he did it with a purpose, with a plan in mind, and now he wants us to discover that purpose and walk in it. Every one of us has our own unique purpose, designed especially for us by our Heavenly Father. But amazingly, all those different destinies, all those different purposes, all flow together in perfect harmony so we can all work together to bring everything under the headship or the lordship of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. When we finally get it in our mind, in our heart, when we get it together and we really begin to walk in God's will instead of our own selfish will, something begins to happen. We start to experience the greatest possible blessings. We get the greatest satisfaction. We begin to see amazing things happening in our life. We experience the greatest freedom, the joy, the peace, the love. And we even have fun, and there's excitement more than we've ever known. That's why it's so important for us to realize that God's plans are much greater and much better than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways, and he really does know what's best for us. He does. God's plans for us are greater than anything that we could ever have imagined for ourselves. We've looked at many different things that will help us walk in our calling. But today I want to look at something that's so basic, so obvious that I'm afraid sometimes, or in fact oftentimes, we overlook it as part of our purpose in life, that it's actually a part of what God wants us to do. What I want to do today is talk about one of the things that we were created for, and that is to lift up our voice, to lift up the name of God in praise, to declare his praises. Bringing praise to God is more than something that we just do on Sunday morning. When we sing a few songs here, we maybe spend an hour in worship. Out of 168 hours in a week, it's 0.6%, less than that, if we only spend an hour a week praising God. Declaring God's praises should actually be a part of everything we do, every area, every aspect of our life. Not something that we just bring together and do just when we sing a few songs. In Isaiah 43:21, when God is talking about his chosen people, the nation of Israel, he says that they are the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. The people that I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise. God was looking for a people to proclaim his praises, to proclaim them out to the world, to the nations. But unfortunately, except for a few people and for very short periods of time, and as we've seen that, especially in the studies we've been doing on Thursdays, it seems like most of the time people reject God. In very short times, they actually honor God. So what's happened then, instead of getting the blessings that are promised to God's people, they end up unfortunately, getting the curses that are a result of disobedience. Next, God sent his Son to the world to reveal himself to his people. But instead of the people rejoicing and accepting the Son and, you know, receiving him with joy, except again for just a few followers, instead of them declaring his praises, once again, the people rejected him, and in fact, this time, they crucified him. So God chose a new nation, a new people for himself, a new chosen people. And who would that chosen people be? It's us. We are the new chosen people, the new people of God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession." We're still God's. We still belong to God. We're his special possession. We're not just something he's got and he throws in a drawer, you know, and pulls it out every few years, looks at it, or, you know, uses it here and there. We're his special possession. Maybe you have something that is very, very special to you. Maybe it's a person who's very, very special to you, and you love them, and you just think about them all the time. We're God's special possession. And why we were brought in as his special possession, why were we brought here? As his special forces, you could even say. It's right there in the second part of that verse. It says, after telling us that we're the chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, then it says that you may, now it's us, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So in the very beginning, he made a people so that they would declare his praises. They failed him. He sent his Son so that people could declare his praises because they could see him. They failed again. And now he's created us and made us this holy nation, this royal priesthood, this chosen people, once again, to declare his praises. So it's very clear that that is a part of our calling. That's a part of what we were created to do. It's part of our destiny, our purpose, to declare the praises of God and bring him the glory that he deserves. Now, at one time, we couldn't do this because we were lost in the darkness. In the darkness of ignorance and sin. And there was no way we could see God's glory. We couldn't see how wonderful, how amazing he was, because we were down in that deep, dark hole without hope, without purpose, without God. But God brought us out of that darkness and into his wonderful light, it tells us. So now we can see his goodness. We can see his love for us. We can understand that. We can know his mercy and his forgiveness. We can experience the joy of our salvation. We can know God. So now it makes perfect sense, because we can see all that, to declare his praises. What does it mean to declare? I looked it up. To publish, to report, to tell about, to make known, to testify, to spread the word. That's declaring the praises of God. It's not just singing a song. Why is God so concerned that we declare his praises? Is he so full of himself that he has to have us, that he just, you know, declaring his praises all day just so he can hear it? Is that his reason? No, there's something so totally different than that. It's almost exactly the opposite. It's not that he's so full of himself. He's so full of love for his creation that he wants us to communicate to all creation how wonderful God is, so that as we declare His praises, people will understand how great this God is and want to be a part of it. They'll want to have a chance to come to know God, to be able to get close to Him, to be able to be saved and spend eternity with the King of the universe. How can they hear if no one speaks? That's what the Word of God tells us. How can they know if no one lets it be known? And so it's our job to let it be known, to publish it, to declare it, to speak it out. Remember, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it talks about how God our Savior wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, that's God's desire, that everyone would be saved. He doesn't want anyone to have to go to hell. He never wanted that. His desire is that everyone would be saved. Of course, we have free will, and so we make the choice. But God's desire is that we would all know His love, that everyone would know His forgiveness. And His desire is to communicate that love and that forgiveness through us as we declare to the world who He is, His praises. Most people in the world will never read a Bible. They'll never even open one up most of the time. But they can read us daily as we communicate through our life, through our words, through our actions, who God is inside of us. That's why we've been called to declare His praises. Declare His creation, His love, His goodness, His mercy, His forgiveness. In Romans 1:20, it tells us that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. It tells us in one scripture that the rocks will cry out in praise to Him. All the earth, meaning everything of the earth, will declare His praises. The sunset, the beauty of that sunset, of the cloud formations, of the full moon that was out last night, if you saw it, the largest moon of the year. The flowers, the beauty of the forests, the lakes, the mountains. We see that and it all points to God. It all speaks of God's majesty and His glory, but what about His greatest creation, us? Does our life point to God like a sunset does? You look at a sunset and you think like, wow, that is so beautiful. God, what did You create here tonight? When people look at our life, is our life declaring the praise of God? We are the ones who were created in His image and His likeness. We should be the ones who declare His praises in the best possible way through our life, showing His greatness, the loudest and boldest of all. We should be like mirrors reflecting His beauty because we were created in His image and likeness. When people look at us, they should see, in a sense, they should see some aspect of God, of Christ in us. We were created to reflect God's glory. We were born to be wild, wild about God, wildly enthusiastic about God, about living for God, about, you know, the things of God. And when we're excited about the things of God, people recognize it. They question it. They want to know about it. They want to experience it. That's why our life needs to declare it. God wants us to make His name glorious, powerful. The first place that we can do this is right in our own home. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home." Our family, our kids, our grandkids, people that come into our home, when those people are around, it's good when we talk about the things of God. They need to hear us talk about how God did this and God did that, and, you know, God really showed me something here, and God really changed, you know, me around here, and God has done and blessed us in this way and done that. When they hear us declaring the praises of God, they need to hear us tell stories about how God worked or works in our life, about the things that He's done in our life, how He's worked and changed us. Sharing about how God has blessed us, about how He's provided for us. Have your kids or grandkids or friends, have they heard the story of your salvation? That's how we keep the fires burning. That's how we sometimes start the fires. We can declare His praises also in the congregation. That's why we always make time for people to come up and share what God has been doing in their lives. Whether it's in the service, whether it's in the Bible studies, whether it's in the home meetings, whether it's before, you know, a prayer meeting or a class, whatever it is, we will usually always try to have a minute, you know, a few minutes sometimes, depending on what type of meeting it is, what the setting is, you know, give people an opportunity. Is something God has been doing, something great in your life. God has been showing you in some way how He's been faithful to you. God has blessed you. You know, God has comforted you. Whatever it is. Those are the kind of things, when we share those, we're declaring His praises. That's important. It's always good to see that God is alive and active in people, right? In our lives. I mean, if you got 3 or 4 or 5 people come up here right in a row and talk about how God just really moved in their heart this week, or, you know, God blessed them financially this week, or God healed them of this week, or God, you know, showed them, gave them revelation, you know, you begin to say, that can happen to me. I can experience that. God's done that for, I remember, and I'd forgotten about that, what God did. It stirs us up. And that's what we need to do. We need to get out there and do those kind of things. We need to be looking expectantly for God to be working in our life. If we're not looking for God to move in our life and in other people's lives, we can miss the blessing. It's like if you're out there, you know, waiting for a bus, but then you decide to maybe go around, look in the store, you start window shopping, or you start reading, bus might come and pass you up. Hey, wait a minute, and it's gone. We miss the opportunity. Hebrews 10:24 tells us to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And sometimes it's just sharing the things of God, what He's done. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily. What better way to encourage other Christians than to share with them what God has done in our life, how God has moved in our life? We also need to declare His praises to the world. So we start out close to home, then we bring it out to the bigger body of Christ, and now we go out into the world. Wherever God has placed us in this world, there's a reason for it. Wherever we're working, wherever we're living, wherever we shop, wherever we go, all the different things we do, there's a reason for that. Why God has put us there. It says that He determined the times and the places where we would live. God's got you living where you live, living in this time for a reason. And we can share the praises of God, declare His praises to the different people that we come across in those situations. We can tell them how God has changed our life, how God has blessed us, how He comforted us in a time of loss or disaster. It might be at a funeral. It might be at a wedding. It might be, you know, helping somebody who has a broken down car. It might be at work. It might be helping a neighbor. lift something, carry something into his house, whatever it is. We tell someone a story about something that happened to us and how we didn't think we were going to make it, but somehow we pulled through, and then we say, you know, it was just a real answer to prayer. We had prayed about it, and God blessed us, and we're just so thankful. It seems like God always rescues us just when we need it. You know, it opens up a door to talk about God. We're declaring that God is alive in our life when we say something like that. We're declaring that we believe in God, that God works in our life. Somebody compliments you on your character or on, you know, who you are, and you say, well, you would have never thought that before God got a hold of me and changed my life. I've heard Bob say things like that to people. Hey, he wouldn't have liked me before. You know, something like that, you know. And I think there's a lot of us that can say that. You know, and we help somebody, we do something, and they, oh, you're such a nice person. You know, I'm just really thankful. And you say, well, you know, you can thank the Lord because I didn't used to be that nice of a person. But God's really changed me over the years. And they, you know, they may laugh, but inside, it hits them. And they're thinking like, yeah, I need to change too. Maybe I need God. Somebody thanks you for help, and you just say, well, thank God. I'm just thankful to God that I was able to help. You know, I didn't think I could do this. Or, you know, I mean, I'm just glad I had this thing that I could lend you. Or I just thank God that I was able to, you know, get the time off to come over to help you move, or whatever it is. Or sometimes it's a simple prayer before a meal, maybe done in a restaurant and not hidden, but spoken out. Let the person at the table sitting next to you hear it. Let them know you're speaking to God. That's declaring His praises. 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. You know, we live in a time right now, today, we live in a time that is filled with uncertainty. Honestly, the only time I can compare the times we live into now, it reminds me of the 60s. In the late 60s and early 70s, when it seemed like our country was falling apart. And there's sort of that kind of feeling out there now to many people. A lot of people are struggling and hurting, and there's a lot of feelings of that we're just sort of wandering as a nation, that things seem to be falling apart around the world. And yet, we have hope. And our hope is certain. Our hope will not disappoint, because our hope is not in the government. Our hope is not in a business. Our hope is in God. And God is not going to fail. God is not going to fall apart. God is not going to, you know, disappear. God is not going to go bankrupt. God owns it all. He has no shortage of anything. I've been accused many times of being too optimistic. I stand convicted. You know, the world should see us as a people of hope. And if there's anywhere where there should be a majority of optimists, it should be in church. You know, you can't be foolish about it, but we need to be optimistic, because we serve a living God. We serve a God who's already promised us so many things that we can count on. We can look for the best in people. We can hope for the best in people. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't happen. But it doesn't mean that we have to stop hoping. It doesn't mean that we have to stop looking. It doesn't mean that we have to stop, you know, trying to see the best. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Philippians 4:13 tells us that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So if with all things are possible and we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, why shouldn't we have hope? Why shouldn't we be optimistic? Why shouldn't we be able to like overgo, you know, just sort of look over and sort of pass over the tough times? Yeah, they're out there, and we may ourselves have to go through some of those tough times sometimes. But we have to have this attitude that says, with Christ, I'll get through this. And then, so what we're doing is by saying that, when we say, you know what, it's all going to work out, you know, God will take care of us, God's my provider, God, you know, has helped me before through times like this, we're showing people hope, and at the same time, we're declaring the praises of God. Why shouldn't we be filled with hope when the Creator of heaven and earth is on our side? He's for us. We should all have this hope. And we should, you know, we should share this hope. God doesn't want it to be like our little secret. You know, He wants us to declare those praises to a world that doesn't have hope. See, remember where we were. It's in the scripture we read earlier that we were one time in darkness without hope. That's where we were at one time. If you can remember that part of your life, there was a time, I mean, maybe there's a few people here that have served Christ their whole life, but most people, if you look back at their life, you can sort of remember a time when the world didn't seem to make any sense, you had no purpose, there was no hope, there was just darkness. It seemed like there was, you know, it was a drag. And then something changed. Well, yeah, we've got that now, but what about all those people who are out there that are in the darkness? They have no hope. They have no future. They have no purpose. They have no calling. They don't understand God. They don't know God. They're lost. They act like they got it all together. They talk like they got it all together, but inside, they're hurting. And you can know it as a fact. It doesn't matter what they tell you. If they don't have God, they're hurting. Because God designed us that way to need Him. And if we don't have Him, there's a hole there that hurts. You ever have a hole in your body? I had a hole one time in my neck. I had this thing that grew in my neck one time, right on my collar line, back about 5 years ago. It started out just like a little, looked like a little pimple, and it turned into this big thing like a golf ball, and I had to have it cut out. And I had this big hole in my neck. And in fact, Donna, who's not in here right now, she'd be crying if she heard this again, probably, but Donna came over, and it was so ugly, she came over and was putting the stuff in it and cleaning it out for me so I could see it. She didn't mind doing that. I don't want to have a hole in my body. And those people out there that don't know God, that's what they got. They got a hole in their body. And which one of us are going to go over there and help clean out that hole, that wound, by declaring the praises of God and showing them how to fill that hole with something good? The love of God. We can also declare our praise or God's praises by the way we live our life. Matthew 5:14 tells us, "You are the light of the world." Verse 16 tells us, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We don't do good deeds to be seen. That's not why we do it. That's what the hypocrites that Jesus condemned did. They told him, "Well, you know, he goes out to the temple to, you know, to stand up and pray so everybody can see him." And there's scriptures that say, you know, that's their reward already because they proclaimed what they were doing and, you know, they just did it so people could see them. That's wrong. To do good so people can see you, that's wrong. But on the other hand, there is doing good and people see that good and that's good. When we do it with the right heart, when we do it to do good, when we do it to serve God, to honor God, when we do it because we're working for God and people see that, then what it does is it causes them, as it says here in verse 16, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our good deeds are praise, are praise to God coming out in deeds. And then when people see those good deeds, it causes them to praise God. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power and honor forever and ever. Amen. To Him, not the one doing the work. We do it to bring praise to Him. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So see, God wants us to do these good works. And He wants people to be able to see those good works as long as they're being done with the right heart. And then people see our transformed life. They see us doing these things, and we give them a reason to praise God. Have you ever had somebody say something to you like, boy, God's really done a work on that guy. I remember what he was like. You ever say that or heard that? Had that said about you? Well, when somebody can look at you and say that, that means that your life is declaring the praises of God. Because you've changed so dramatically, and people can see the change in your life is speaking out praises to God. When people you used to know, maybe way back, maybe back in the old days, in the old neighborhood, back from school, back from the past, and they see this dramatic change in your behavior, in your character, then you are declaring God's praises with your life. Praise is a natural and necessary response that is needed. We need to praise. It's a response to something that it actually helps us to be able to fully appreciate and enjoy the object that is being praised. When we praise it, it actually brings more enjoyment in that thing. Have you ever watched a group of guys that maybe have gotten together and they're there to watch the big game? Maybe it was at Eddie's house or something like that, or somewhere. And you know, these guys are jumping up and down and they're yelling and they're screaming, they're acting crazy, you know? And they're laughing and they're having a good time and their team's making good plays, and then especially when their team wins, they go nuts. And that's the praise that they're showing for their team. And it's part of the fun when they praise their team, when they get together and they praise, or even when just one person is praising it, it sort of amplifies the fun or the excitement of that win. If you just sit there with your eyes half closed and you're watching your team win and you really don't care what's going on, it's not nearly as fun. It's not as exciting. The delight in that win isn't complete until it's expressed in some way, in some acknowledgement or praise. When we share the great things that God has done, when we declare His praises, then we ourselves then, as we share it, we get more excited about what God is doing. We get more pleasure out of serving God, and it will be easier to follow God's will and walk in His ways, walk in His purposes, and walk in our destiny, and walk in our calling. Because we're more excited. So now we've come full circle in this whole talk that I've been giving here, and we see that a big part of God's plan, God's purpose for our life, is to declare His praises. But then what we find out is that as we declare His praises, it makes it easier for us to follow His purpose and His will and walk in our destiny. It goes in a circle. They serve one another. It works together. Praising God. It's absolutely essential to please God. When our life is a blessing to God, then God's blessings will be poured out on our life. It's the sowing and the reaping. It's a principle of God. Something that we don't always think about, but that's how it is. The more we praise God, the more God will bless us. The more we bless God, the more He'll bless us. God is calling you to live your life for Him, to praise Him for everything that He has done for you. And not just to praise Him quietly in your own closet, not just to praise Him in your own room, in your own home, but to praise Him with your whole life, everywhere you go, in everything that you do. And the more you praise Him, the more you will see, the more reasons you'll see that He should be praised. It begins to grow. It begins to flow. We begin to see it. God is worthy of praise. He really is. If I could have the prayer team come up, we're going to close today. I just want you to think about that, about how, in some way, how can you use your life in the places you go this week, tomorrow morning maybe right after church? What can you do? What can you say? What can you show off in some way? What can you publish? As it says, declare, publish, talk about, bring about, spread the word. How can you do those things? What can you do in this day that can in some way promote or praise God? Think about that. Am I fulfilling this part of my purpose? Am I fulfilling this part of my calling? Am I bringing praise to God by declaring His praise with my life? Remember, God chose us. My people. He created us to be His people so that we may declare His praises. This is part of God's plan. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You so much for everything that You have done for us. Lord, we do declare Your praises. Lord, we thank You that You've changed us. We thank You that You've called us, that You've brought us out of the world, out of the darkness, out of the pit, that You brought us out of death. Death has no more victory over us. That You've rescued us from a life of bondage to sin, that we don't have to be in that bondage anymore. That You've forgiven us. We thank You for all these things that You've done. We thank You for Your love, which You shower upon us. We thank You for Your revelation. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, we declare Your praises. We thank You, Lord. I pray that our lives may exemplify, that they might reflect Your glory, so that other people, when they look at us, that they would have cause to praise You, that they would have cause to desire You, to want to know You. Lord, help us to be a reflection of You wherever we go, that our life would declare Your praises. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.